Welcome to God's house. I tell you, it's really great to stand here and look at each one of you and remind myself of why I came back. You're my family. I've learned a lot on this trip. I want to share some of it. I've attended different churches. Fort Walton Beach, Florida was a real surprise. 21-mile drive, Fort Walton Beach was a real surprise. It was like 23 miles from where we were camped on the beach. And it was 95 degrees and 90% and it was hot and everybody was wearing shorts and t-shirts and sandals. And so I went to church. Sandals, shorts. I thought I was really doing good. I wore a short sleeve sports shirt. Was I in for the shock of my life? Very conservative group of people. Suits and neckties and dresses. Nobody invited me to stay for potluck. The next week I wore a necktie and long pants and they invited me to stay for potluck. Then about 50 miles north of Chattanooga, I drove over to a place called Dunlap, Tennessee, about 100 miles from Nashville, where we were staying. And I found what I consider to be one of the most conservative churches I've ever been in. And don't think I'm asking you to change how you dress. I don't care. As long as you're covered up, come to church wearing whatever you want. But all of the ladies and the little girls and the young ladies, there were skirts and dresses everywhere. And the guys, the little guys and the medium-sized guys and the big guys, all in suits and neckties and highly polished shoes. I tell you, down there in that Bible Belt, there's a Baptist church on every corner and there's one in the middle of the block to make sure you don't miss out. I've never seen so many churches in all my life. Around New Orleans, of course, the predominant belief system is Roman Catholic. But you get a little bit farther north, and the Baptists are everywhere, and I love my Baptist friends. In every church I attended, the order of service, the pattern of the service was exactly the same. So we are steeped in tradition, I want to tell you that. And tradition's comforting, as long as we don't lose sight of worship in tradition. One of the churches I sat in, I'm listening to this sermon, and the pastor is a friend of mine. I had no idea he was there. But as I'm sitting there, listening, and observing and being part of the service and trying to get into the spirit of the service, I began to look around me and I thought to myself, this is like a funeral. There's no life, there's no energy. Wake up! Who is it we're here to see? So then I began to think about relationships. As you know, Janine has recently retired. We're excited about that. She more than me, I think. But I was expecting there would be difficulty. Because for what, 15, 16 years, Janine, you've been working second shift. So we live separate lives together, you know? Touch a little here, talk a little there, just hit and miss and bounce around and carry on, and now we're together all day long. It's wonderful, but I want to tell you there's some adjustment required. Okay? It's not a bad thing. It is a real thing. It's a part of life. It's a part of what relationships are about. Relationships are about spending time with people. Okay? That's what a relationship is. spending time with people. And if you're not spending time with people, you don't really know who they are. And over a period of 15 years of not hanging out together as much as would be good, there are things about each other that we don't know. Okay? And it requires some attention to properly process through those things and become what God intended us to be, best friends. That doesn't mean we're in trouble. That doesn't mean we're getting ready to leave each other. It just, I'm acknowledging the reality of relationships. Relationships are the most important thing that we can experience in life. I've told you before, God wanted a family, so He created Adam and Eve. That was the whole idea. Let's bow our hearts for a moment. Papa, it's time for your voice to be heard through the indwelling of your Spirit. So speak your truth to every heart, no matter what I say. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's one thing I forgot to mention, so this is kind of a diversion, but you'll have to excuse me. There's an important anniversary that took place today. Most of you don't know about it, but you're going to know about it in a minute. 60 years ago today, our friend John went into the Army. He says he'll never forget that day. Talk about relationships, huh, John? You still know your serial number, don't you? Those relationships are forged under the pressure of intense relationship. You never forget them. You never forget them. And when you meet people that were part of that time with you, there's a bond there that transcends time. Doesn't matter how long you've been apart, you're still connected. And I want to talk a little bit about this man, Jesus. And he is a man. He's my brother. He was born here and he lived here. And in our text for today, it says, and we're in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And I think I'm going to be changing how I present things to you. Often I have many different texts. We're going to try and simplify it. Because I think when there's so much out there, it's hard to stay focused. You might walk away not remembering the important core of the message. Today, the important core of the message is the value and the absolute necessity of relationships. Part of the reason our country's in such a terrible state is lack of respect for relationships. We don't have them. There's all kinds of reasons why we don't have them. And as I think about this country, you talked about it, Brent. It's amazing that this country exists. And I know that it's a miracle of God's creation, or it wouldn't exist. On one of the events that Janine and I did, we visited Hermitage. Now, I don't expect you to know what that is. Hermitage is where Andrew Jackson lived and died. And when I read the volatile politics of his day and I think about what's going on today, it's absolutely no different than it ever was. And that's because we're still people. I mean, the nasty things they said to each other, and we're slightly more civil. They had what they called duels, you know? Andrew Jackson shot and killed a man in a duel. I mean, physical violence is not anything new in our society. And there's so many more of us And we certainly have deteriorated because of our lack of ability to maintain and develop appropriate relationships. But ye are a chosen generation. Like the sign outside said, Jesus picked you. It's personal. He picked you for his best friend. Because whether you know it or not, he's in love with you. And I've come to understand more deeply than ever before that in order to have a relationship, you have to spend time with someone. You can't have a relationship if you're two ships passing in the night. It's imperative. That means important. It's absolute. You have to spend time together to have a relationship. So Jesus has taken the initiative. He's chosen you. He's chosen you to be his best friend. And in order to have the bountiful joy that comes from an appropriate relationship, it is so important that you spend time with Jesus. And I have news. I just love it when you come to church. But if that's the end of your relationship with Jesus, you're on a starvation diet. You've got no clue who the guy is. And even morning and evening reading a verse out of the Bible isn't enough. Because the relationship he wants to have with me and with you is ongoing all day long, every day. That's why Paul says, pray without ceasing. What is prayer? Prayer is communication. Relationships are built on communication. And even in our own circle here in our family church, lack of communication creates problems in our relationships with each other. And sometimes it's volatile enough that people leave. And that's just so heartbreaking to find out that because of inaccurate, inappropriate communication, we wound one another. Well, here's the good news about a relationship with Jesus. There's no wounding. He wants each one of us, myself included, to enjoy this trip called life. And we know that because there's an enemy out there, it's not all joy and happiness, is it? There's problems. Janine said we traveled 4,000 miles, we didn't have any problems. Well, we never got stranded alongside the road. And nothing broke that we couldn't fix. But even in the joy of our travels and the experience of meeting all these people, there are still things that happen. We were at HWH to have the leveling system worked on, right? Had up on the rack, ran the power cord out so we could run the refrigerator. They got done, they wanted the thing out of there. They had somebody else to bring in. Guess what? The electric thing that runs in the power cord quit. Couldn't get the power cord back in. Would you please get that fixed and get it out of here? We got other people to work on. So I wind up the cord, and it's a big fat one, and tie it with tie wraps onto the side of the bus, and I drive out and go to the park with the cord hanging off the side of the bus with tie wraps. Now I could let that spoil my trip, right? Of course not. Just a little bump. Had a lot of fun with it. Met some new people I never would have met. all fixed up and working fine. So that was a minor thing. You know, there's all kinds of things that happen that are way worse than that. But the point of it is how we approach them, what we let those circumstances do to us. Because when we have allowed Jesus, who has chosen you, to have a relationship, even when the tough stuff hits, it doesn't disturb the relationship. The relationship transcends the immediate circumstances. We visited a friend of Janine's that she went to high school with at Platte Valley. She's challenged with Parkinson's disease. Her husband hasn't left. He's not going anywhere. You know, this is not a pleasant thing, Parkinson's. Any kind of disease isn't a pleasant thing. That hasn't interfered with their relationship. And it certainly hasn't interfered with the relationship that Jesus wants to have with her. And it's evident that it has not interfered with that relationship. She's still happy and joyful and does everything she can to enjoy the life she has. It's okay to be real about our experience in life. And until we've accepted Jesus' call to be his best friend and actually spend time with him, we're going to be struggling with deep disappointments, insurmountable obstacles. Those things might happen to us in the relationship, but in the relationship, they're not the big deal they are otherwise. I don't know about you, but you know, every morning I have this routine. I wake up, the first thing I do is I thank him for waking me up again. And then we have all these people to pray for. And whether you know it or not, I pray for each and every one of you guys by name every day. By name. You're important. And then there's other things I pray for. A while back I realized that I was doing all the talking. That's not a relationship, is it? So, and sometimes it's difficult, because when I'm not talking, I naturally fall asleep, whether it's daytime or nighttime. Janine picks on me. He says, "You're sleeping." I said, "I heard that." So to spend time and just let his presence soak in and flow through. And I guess I've described it as showing God my daytimer, and when he gets done laughing, I ask him where we're going. It's important to give him a chance to tell you where you're going. And it's amazing what happens in the day. Amazing. One thing that's very important is to remember to tell him, "Hey, you know, I'm yours today. I've got all these plans, but I want you to have your way with me today." And oftentimes, like I've said, these encounters that he brings you to are not convenient, and they may interfere with other things you have planned. Above all things, my friends, Jesus has picked you. And in that choice, he wants you to trust him for everything. He wants you to come to him with anything and everything. Nothing's too small for his notice or his attention or his involvement. That's what friends are about. You got a problem? Talk to me. I want to hear about it. He may already know, but he wants you to tell him. I know one morning we had some plans, and Jeannie went to take care of some things, and I was supposed to be doing some other things, and I didn't get to doing those other things. Because a friend from 20-some years ago came by where we were parked, and I learned that this friend was still so angry about some events that occurred maybe 25, 30 years ago that didn't involve me. But he began to share with me the pain and the anger and the hate, I said, that he still carries for some of the people in his past. He says, why does God let that stuff happen? Why? It wasn't long before I began to cry. I couldn't help it. For somebody to be carrying that kind of load of pain for that length of time, it's just awful. He didn't know Jesus was his best friend. He knew about Jesus. He grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're supposed to know Jesus, right? Well, I tell you, where you go to church doesn't mean you know Jesus. And so he lines up stuff for us like that in life to help bring us back to the joy of the journey. Hi, Chip. Good to see you, buddy. And speaking of the joy of the journey, Jeannie and I are traveling along, and we're coming into the Lincoln, Nebraska area. She has a cousin who lives there. This is Sunday. So I call him. Hi. You know we're coming, we're almost there. And he says to me, did you know that tonight there's a Blackwood Brothers concert in town? Didn't have a clue. He says, the concert's at 6:30. Do you want to go? And I said, absolutely. But would we get there in time? Well, we talked about it, and he said that he would come meet us where we were parking, and we could go to the concert together. We pulled into the place where we were parking at 6 o'clock. By 6:18, we had parked, leveled, powered up, had the air conditioning going for Katie, and had changed our clothes, and were in the car and on our way to the concert. Only God can put together a schedule like that, because he's in love with you and wants you to have a good time. We had no idea what he'd put together for us. Jeannie, you had something you wanted to say? Oh yeah, that's a record. It usually takes an hour. But he put that together. We didn't know anything about it. He wanted us to have a good time. Now, I don't care whether you like the Blackwood Brothers or not. I tend to like them a lot. They've been a quartet together since 1934. The King's Heralds have been at it since 1928. And it was just a joy to be there and listen to them and share about Jesus. I mean, I want you to know that they are disciples of Jesus. They preach him everywhere they go. That Jesus has chosen you. He wants to be your best friend. And again, I'm going to stress, in order to have a friendship with Jesus, you've got to spend time with the guy. So let's go back to our text. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're a member of the royals. It's just not, what's the gal that just got married over in England? What's her name? Megan, all right. She's been adopted into the royal family through marriage. Whoopee, good for her. You and I have been adopted into the royal family of the universe through the engagement of Jesus Christ with his bridegroom. That's way more than Meghan Markle will ever experience. And it's eternal. And it's now. And it's because of our best friend. A holy nation, a peculiar people. What makes you peculiar? The natural course of things is to ignore these stuff. We're born separated from God, so that's what's natural. So when you allow Jesus to hook up with you and become your best friend, that's odd. Just that thing by itself makes you different. And it's scary when people recognize it. Somebody said to me as we were talking about these things, says, you know what? I can see him through you. And I'm going, wow. Wow. We're different. We're peculiar. And what are we different about? That we should show forth the praises of him. Show forth his praise. Who's called us out of darkness, which is separation from him, into the brightness of his chosen friendship. Am I making a connection with you guys? You understand? Jesus has picked you. That's something to get excited about. You've been chosen. It's not an accident. A chosen, peculiar, because you're chosen, you've accepted his choice. And in that choosing and in that friendship, all of a sudden, you're in brightness instead of darkness. And it talks about people up a verse or two ahead of that. Verse 8 talks about the stone stumbling and a rock of offense, which is a description of Jesus. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. In other words, he called them too. He chose them. But guess what? They didn't accept his choosing. All right? This isn't complicated. And he died for the right to be your best friend. He chose you. So let him choose you. Spend time with him. Talk to him. And, like I told you about my own prayer life, spend some time listening. And oftentimes the listening comes from what you're reading here, because this is his preferred method for talking to you. This book. I was talking with a pastor friend of mine. He was telling me about some theologians that have been at odds with some of the things Ellen White wrote about timelines, and that they had disagreed with her interpretation and had come right out and wrote, they've written books debunking the things that she has said. And he said, now, he said, there's a group of theologians that are coming around to support what she said. I said, so why do I care? I said, I never was at odds with what she wrote. I'm not at odds with what he's written in his word either. If you find yourself at odds with what's been written in his word and what his servant has been told to pass on, don't let anybody else's opinion bother you. Get in this book. Let him have a relationship with you. And pretty soon, you'll discover that a lot of these things that we argue and fight about have absolutely no meaning. No meaning. It's about the relationship. It's about being chosen. There's safety there. There's peace there. There's comfort there. And Wanda can tell you about the safety and peace and comfort. And Sandy too. And Don. All the stuff you guys have been through, he's been there the whole time, huh? Yeah, he's been there the whole time. By the way, I really like the flowers this morning. Those are gorgeous. And we do things to make other people's lives more pleasant in the relationship that we have with them. Because in a relationship with Jesus, he invites us to have relationships with each other and share the joy that brings our lives in those relationships. It's not one-sided. Relationships require attention and time. Papa, this morning we're excited about the fact that Jesus has chosen each one of us. He's picked us. He's picked us to be unusual and different. Not because we're weird, but because we've accepted your friendship. And you've called us to exhibit the joy of that friendship and the opportunity that you've chosen those that have turned you down and that they still have an opportunity to accept and allow you to be their best friend. So we commit our hearts to you today. We don't have tomorrow. And we're grateful for your selection. We accept your selection and continue to point out to us how valuable we are to you and how important we are to you as we continue to examine what you've told us. We are chosen. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn number 359, Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling, number 359. Let's stand as we sing together.
Thank you this morning for the clear and bright understanding that we are chosen. Each one of us has been picked by you, handpicked by you. Thank you for being so willing to enter into all of the activities of our lives. So as we leave your house, thank you for taking us with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fellowship meal.